Blog Talk Radio.
Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. Today is Tuesday, 29th of June, 2021. There's a lot going on this week, particularly in the news. There's more tragedy and trauma that we're going to discuss tonight here in our country, as well as in my beloved city. The ongoing tragedy and trauma, which is unaffectionately known as Chirac. So we're going to discuss some recent developments, as well as something else on the table tonight, subject matter on the table tonight, we'll be discussing the amateur and not so amateur status of student athletes and the Supreme Court's decision to compensate former and current student athletes. And the reason why this particular topic is on the table this evening is simply because these are our kids, and our children are being taken advantage of and downright exploited by this giant conglomeracy called the NCAA. And we'll delve further into that tonight as well. All are welcome to join in our conversation. If you would like to join us, please feel free to dial area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. If you would like to speak, just press 1, and you will be entered into the host queue. And we here in the Empowerment Zone just simply ask to be respectful and kind to the other guests and callers as not to create waves and as to create fluid dialogue in order to achieve our goal, which is, if you've been following the show for the last year and a half, we've been, you know that we are truly rooted in the people. That is our purpose. That is our sole purpose, the people. Before we move any further, I will knock out these particulars. If you would like to join us in all of our efforts, you can reach us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Just leave a contact number and your name, and I assure you someone will get back to you expediently. Again, that's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Just leave the information and someone will get back to you, I promise. Also, we'd like to discuss anything that's on your mind tonight. We only have a couple hours, and for everything that's going on, it certainly isn't enough time. However, whatever subject you want to discuss, you can lay it out on the table, and we will hammer it out. Now, that's what we're here for. Again, if you've been following the show, you know that the five premises of this show are economic empowerment, financial responsibility, activism, proactiveness, and preparedness, with an emphasis on preparedness. And I want to touch on that particular aspect of the empowerment zone, preparedness. And the reason why I want to touch on that tonight, the reason why that's going to be on the table, that particular topic is going to be on the table tonight, is because this summer, we've gotten off to a roaring start this summer, and it's not going to get any prettier. We've already lost a number of people. We've already lost a number of people to senseless violence, and if you're following the show, if you were listening to our last installment 2 weeks ago, you'll remember that we were discussing the mental aspect and our mental condition. And I mean in our community, our mental condition from being locked down and in the throes of this pandemic. So, again, if you've been listening, you'll know that that's been part of the discussion on the table. And the reason why I'm bringing up, the reason why I want to discuss preparedness tonight, and emphasis on preparedness, is because, again, this summer has gotten off to a roaring start, and I'm seeing a lot of robberies, a lot of carjackings, more missing people. Just in the last 30 days, we've lost a number of young women that have simply disappeared without a trace. So that's why we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to focus on excuse me, please. We're going to focus on preparedness and what needs to be done and what you can do to protect yourself and protect your family and your loved ones. So we'll be discussing that tonight. Again, if you would like to join us in our conversation tonight, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. If you just want to listen on the phone or listen online, that's totally cool. But if you have something that you want to say, something that you want to offer, perhaps some kind of solution, because as you know, this show is solution oriented. So if you have something to offer, something pertinent to offer, or a question that perhaps I can answer, please do so. Again, the number is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1 and you will be entered into the host queue. And just again, please be respectful of the other callers and guests. Please be kind. And when you're done with your question or comment, just yield. We use the Robert's Rule of Order here in the Empowerment Zone, which simply means that when you're done with your comment or question, just yield as to create fluid dialogue and as not to make waves and to step on any toes with the other callers. So please be mindful of that. And again, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. With all that said, let's get this show on the road. We've got one of the things that I really wanted to touch on this evening is something that's really sparked interest in me, because I have children and grandchildren. I have a grandson that's going to be going to college next year, graduate from high school in Virginia next year. And I want him, I'm really concerned. He's an athlete. He's a tremendous young baseball player, as well as football and basketball, but he's got a niche in baseball, and I would really hate to see my grandson taken advantage of and exploited by the conglomeracy, which is the NCAA. If you don't understand what the NCAA stands for, it's an acronym for National Collegiate Athletic Association, which is basically controlled by the old boy network, the same people that control the prison systems and control these colleges and universities and other schools, are the same people that are willfully exploiting our children. So much so that the Supreme Court just recently voted unanimously, 9-0, in favor of student athletes, particularly basketball and football players. And what the Supreme Court the Supreme Court's decision was that the NCAA is responsible for it has violated, I'm sorry, the NCAA has violated antitrust laws, and that they must begin to compensate current as well as former student athletes, particularly football and basketball. And the reason why I say particularly football and basketball is simply because the video gaming industry makes an enormous amount of money off of these video games. One of the another decision in another state by a Supreme Court state a state Supreme Court, I want to say it was in New York State, that EA Sports, the video game creators, have been ordered to compensate a number of former football and basketball players for their name and likeness, for profiting off of their name and likeness, actually since 1994. This case was presented. It's just an example of how long it takes to get some justice. This case has been was presented to the state court in 2009. So it's been roughly 12 years for this decision to be handed down. So with that said, that is going to, with this decision being handed down, that's going to open up the door to much more litigation and civil suits. And not just the video game creators, but the NCAA, the NFL Players Association has a lot to say about this, because there's NFL as well as NBA, there's current NFL and NBA players and former NFL and NBA players that are involved in these suits that are stacking up at a tremendous rate, because again, these landmark decisions have opened the door for much litigation, and I really see the NCAA and these other franchises settling or paying a fraction of what should be paid, but we'll just wait and see on that, because I highly doubt that any of these civil suits will go to a jury trial, and I'm sure most of them will be settled out of court, much like the two that were most recently settled out of court for an undisclosed amount, but I'm sure it was quite a bit. I won't guesstimate at a number, but I'm sure it was quite a bit, because these lawyers ain't doing this for a piece of chump change, because they get 10 to 15% of whatever decision, whatever settlement is, whatever settlement has been determined. So I'm sure it's quite a bit that these lawyers get for these former and current athletes. And like I said, this just opens the door to a litany of civil suits, not to mention antitrust suits, labor laws, and what's the other thing? Also what's at stake is the double standard. The double standard that is amateur, the amateur and pro status, and college aid student athletes. And the reason why I say the double standard is because imagine, if you will, let's use Naomi Osaka, for example. Pro tennis player, right? She's been a pro now since she was 16. Not even college age yet. Still, what, sophomore, junior in high school at best? Yet she makes thousands of dollars per game. And she gets sponsored, and she has sponsors that pay her naming rights and all that. Her brand, her name is her brand. Yet she was 16 years old as a professional, not an amateur. Olympic athletes are considered amateurs. However, some of them who are older than 18, some of them who are in college or just graduated from college and have, let's just talk about the tennis players, track athletes, and swimmers. Those Olympic athletes, I should include the baseball and basketball players as well. So those Olympic athletes have, most of them, 90% of them have made money as a professional. But in college, you're considered an amateur. And you risk your amateur status and eligibility when you participate in a professional meet, whether it be a swim meet, tennis match, tennis tournament, or baseball, a sanctioned baseball, basketball, or, of course, a football game. But particularly in the Olympics, since there is baseball and tennis and basketball in the Olympics, most of the Olympians are now professionals, but are in college age. Some of them are still in college, but they get paid by these sponsors, as well as by these various leagues. Some of these basketball players are in the G League or the D League, and they practice with the other professional basketball players that are in the Olympics. They practice with these guys, so they're in a professional status. Yet they're still in the Olympics. They're Olympic qualifiers. D League basketball players that are allowed to practice with the pros, with the other Olympians, much like the Dream Team had college players practicing with them back in the day. And that to say all this is that there's a double standard and quite the contradiction with the status of amateur and pro athletes. So we want to, so I guess my question is, and I'm posing this question to the audience here, but my question is, what defines amateur? What separates amateur and professional athletes? The other thing I would like to know is how this giant conglomeracy that is raking in billions annually can be so arrogant to say that the student athletes do not deserve to be compensated in any way because they're getting a free education. Now let's examine that free education. Because I happen to know student athletes. One of my daughters was a college student athlete. Golf, bowling, track. Partial scholarship. But it's supposed to be free education, right? So how come these student athletes are still paying arrearages, no less, on student loans. I thought they got a free education. That's the perception. And that's the image that the NCAA wants to paint. That's the picture that the NCAA wants to paint, because they have not clearly defined the difference between a pro athlete and a student athlete. Because again, let me remind you, tennis player can go pro at 14. Another example of professional, you can get a pilot's license at 14 years old. So how old or young is too young to be a professional? And why is the NCAA so bent on not compensating the players in any way, not even in the most minimal way, such as computers, a decent per diem, things like suits, this other necessities, books. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this is personal to me, because I have a grandson that's a student athlete, tremendous baseball, tremendous athlete, and I do not want him to be taken advantage and exploited, and be further taken advantage of and exploited by scouts, numerous scouts that take advantage and pay under the table, pay money under the table. And then when it's found out by the NCAA that these scouts paid these kids money before they enrolled in school or after they enrolled in school, now they're violated and now they're ineligible to play the game that they were recruited to play. So now that player, that student athlete has no choice but to turn pro because he or she has lost the eligibility. Because the NCAA is bent on not letting students make any money. So now with this landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, and the other decisions by the New York State Supreme Court, these decisions have rendered the NCAA president and really put his feet to the fire. Oh, by the way, his name is Mark Emmert. He's the president of the NCAA, and he is he has turned a blind eye to the welfare of the student athlete on more than one occasion. But now, since the Supreme Court has handed down this landmark decision, there's pressure on Mr. Emmert, as well as Mr. Emmert's putting pressure on the over 1,000 schools colleges and universities from Division I through Division III, putting pressure on those 1,000 plus schools to start compensating. Oh, as well as pressure on the states, not just the state schools, the state-run school, colleges, and universities, but as well as the states, putting pressure on them to start compensating current and former athletes with, in light of the enormous profit margin that the NCAA makes. Also with allegations of so much corruption in the recruiting efforts to get these mostly young men, we're not going to even delve into the women's sports, the women athletes at this point in the conversation tonight. I will because there is something distinctive about these landmark decisions that affect the women, the women college student athletes as well. But for right now, we're just going to stick to primarily the male athletes. And the reason why, as I explained a minute ago, there's something in particular that I wanted to point out as far as the female athletes, women athletes are concerned. But the basketball and football players are now eligible to be compensated. And we hope that it's not a I saw a number the other day that was encouraging, to say the least, for a student athlete that, you know, that didn't come from, you know, that had to get a scholarship, whether it be partial or full, and they came from a background, you know, from, let's just say, you know, indigent, you know, not very fortunate as some of his teammates. So for these kids that struggle mightily to maintain their grades as well as to practice and play the game that they're recruited to do, it's a tremendous effort, and to not be and to have to struggle to do that, it's just not fair, and it really sheds light on the ineptitude and the willful apathy of the NCAA when it comes to the welfare of these coveted student athletes that make for these universities, colleges and universities, billions of dollars annually. I mean, if you knew the exact number of the profit that these colleges and universities make from all three levels, Division I, II, and III, billions of dollars, I mean, an astronomical amount of money that the players, the deserving student athletes do not see. And not to mention, like I said earlier, about the contradiction and the goddamn double standard, which is most of these athletes, even if they go pro and make a lot of money, they still got to pay back these student loans. So essentially, these student athletes that are on partial or full scholarship are still responsible for student loans. So essentially, these students are paying to study and to play. There's something inherently wrong with that. So again, my concern is personal because I know my grandson is a tremendous athlete, and I know that he's being scouted and recruited to schools up and down the East Coast, baseball programs up and down the East Coast. I know a particular school in Tennessee that's known for their baseball program. Really hard to get in that school. So if he got a scholarship to that particular university, high-profile university in Tennessee, my concerns are just that great because, again, do not want him to be exploited. And, you know, so let's just hypothetically ask this question. What if he gets injured in the first game he plays and he can't play anymore? Now what? If anyone can answer that for me, I greatly appreciate it because that's a major concern of mine. And I wonder, and again, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because of, you know, it's personal to me, as well as we just, oh, please excuse me, got the hiccups now. As we've discussed on this program before, Everyone's not fit out for college. Everyone's not cut out for military. But anyone, and I mean anyone, can learn a trade. So all these billions of dollars that these colleges and universities are making, and all these student athletes that are performing, and being exploited. What if a lot of these kids started going to the HBCUs, not the PWCs or PWUs, predominantly white universities and colleges? What if a lot of our kids started going to the HBCUs, getting a full ride at Grambling State or Louisiana Tech or Texas A&M or NCA&T or East Carolina University or Fisk or Bethune-Cookman or Jackson State, any of these schools for our children to attend? And what if a fraction of our children decided not to go to any of these schools, whether they be the predominantly white schools or the HBCUs, and decided to go to a trade school? How would that change the landscape of future professional of our staff? How would that change the landscape in our community? Do you think that with learning trades, that could be the foundation of build something much larger on a grander scale, much like, you learn plumbing, you learn heating, HVAC, and now you can open up, now you can start your own service. So learning a trade is essential, because again, everyone's not cut out for college and everyone ain't cut out for the military. So it's recommended here in the Empowerment Zone that if you're not cut out for either of those, then at the very minimum, learn a trade. And then you can build from there. We've been discussing, if you're just not joining the program tonight, we've been discussing the landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to compensate former and current student athletes, particularly football and basketball players, compensate these players for their for the NCAA as well as colleges and universities and EA Sports video game creators have already paid out a couple of former players because of the huge profit that they've made off of these college basketball and football video games. And not to mention the former NFL and NBA players that are now involved in several of these suits that are in litigation right now. Again, with this landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, it's just going to open up the door to a litany of civil suits, class action suits. That's the word I'm looking for. Class action lawsuits, as well as corruption allegations and a number of other things that are going to be exposed. Some people are going to lose their jobs over this, and it's going to make a huge impact on the future of college sports, which is a bajillion dollar industry. Everything from everything from the shoes to the hoodies to the beer and all the stuff in between that they sell while we're sitting there watching these games, watching these student athletes perform in a professional capacity, but in an amateur status. So again, there is a double standard, and the contradiction lies there within. So again, my question is, what's the true definition of a student athlete and the fine line between professional and student and earning money? Again, if you'd like to join the conversation tonight, the number to call is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1. You'll be entered into the host queue. And just be respectful to the other guests and callers by yielding after your comment or question as to create fluid dialogue and not to step on anyone's toes. With that said, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll further discuss this particular subject, because again, it's rather personal to me. And not only that, you know, I know many of you have student loans that you're still paying back. I know someone in particular who's been out of college for 20 years, 20 plus years. Still paying fucking student loans, and they were student athlete as well, in a prominent Big Ten school, so that's why this is personal to me, and we're going to further discuss this down the line when we come back after this break. So you've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Again, if you'd like to reach out to us and join us, please do. You can contact us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Just leave your name and your number, and someone will get back to you. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that Black Lives Matter, when truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. Poor white, that they call trash. We realize we're all
neighborhood because they know they got lawyers. They know they'll sue their ass. They can tell who the fuck with. Unfortunately, black or brown skin is always meant for. They profiling you, kid. They know you can't fight back, but we about to.
Investigators say they are reviewing body camera and dash cam video of Tuesday's shooting. Police say that Keith Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something at Scott's feet. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief says he will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real, but not it! They fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, yo, life matters! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor!
Peace. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Again, it's Tuesday, June 29th, almost into July. Seems like this year has really flown by because there's been so much going on. And I'm not even talking about that bullshit insurrection that happened on January 6th, which is doomed to repeat itself, by the way, but that's for another show. Please excuse me. Lots of stuff going on that we want to touch on tonight. If you're just joining us tonight, we've been discussing the amateur and not so amateur status of student athletes and the landmark Supreme Court decision to compensate former and current student athletes. And with this landmark decision, really put a lot of pressure on the NCAA, as well as other entities that have profited off of our children for so many years, and now have to come up with a number that will satisfy the federal court. As far as compensation, I don't know what the timeline is. I don't know what the deadline is, if there even is a deadline. However, the NCAA as well as the NCAA has to come up with a number relatively soon, because if they don't come up with a concrete number as to a fair compensation for these players, for these student athletes, then it's going to be, they just don't want to leave that decision to a jury, because that would bankrupt the conglomeracy, which is the NCAA. It's already opened up the door to a litany of civil suits, class action civil suits, as well as antitrust suits, and I'm sure there'll be some settlements. I really don't believe that any of these cases will go to a jury, and that's why it's so important that the NCAA comes up with a concrete number that will satisfy the Fed as a number that will satisfy the Fed to compensate these athletes. So again, if you have anything that you want to offer on this particular topic, please feel free to call us. You can reach us at 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. 5538 and just press 1 to enter the host queue. Or not. You can just continue to listen. But if you have something to offer, if you have questions that perhaps I can answer, then please feel free. Again, the number is 914-205-5538 to join our conversation this evening. We've got about an hour remaining, and again, it certainly isn't enough time to sort through this particular topic. And before we move on to the other topics at hand, such as the current events and the tragedy and trauma that's going on in my beloved city, as well as around the country, as well as a public service announcement that I'd like to offer in the waning moments of the show that I can't, I'd be remiss to not mention. So with that said, the thing that I wanted to touch on in regards to the student athletes are the women. And it really feels to me that the women are being excluded from any of these suits, any of these class action or antitrust suits, namely because the NCAA doesn't market the women's sports the way they market men's, particularly football and basketball, as well as track. But the reason why, and I know this for a fact, I know this to be fact, based on the numbers that reflect viewership, fandom, and profit. For instance, television networks pay these colleges and universities an enormous amount of money for the men's sports, for football and basketball. The March Madness basketball tournament alone nets billions of dollars. And the networks pay these schools, the networks as well as the beer companies, the booze, the insurance companies, the shoes and the athletic wear, all of them pay an exorbitant amount of money, particularly for the men's sports, basketball, and of course football. Whereas these same entities, sponsors, do not pay near as much for the women's games simply because they are not marketed in the same way, because there just isn't as much, or it's perceived as women's games are not perceived as not having as vast an audience. Again, excuse me, please. Again, viewership, based on viewership, fandom, these same sponsors do not pay out as much. So the women's sports are being excluded. However, there's women basketball players. There's women volleyball players. I should say pro. There's professional volleyball and basketball and softball players, all NCAA sports, women's sports, volleyball, basketball, and softball. All those were included in another landmark decision by the Supreme Court with Title IX, which entitled women to participate in collegiate athletics to the same degree as men. But again, the women's games are not perceived as having the same viewership and vast fandom as the men's games, basketball and football primarily. So they're not getting as much money. Therefore, if they're not getting as much money, they're certainly not in the program ranks. The women certainly aren't making as much as the men are. Because, again, the game is perceived as the women's games are perceived as inferior, as less entertaining, unwatchable, I've heard, particularly the WNBA, with all the missed shots and all the turnovers and balls thrown away, and they're looking like some WNBA games have been called Keystone. And that's not good. So that's another reason why there's such a disparity and unequal pay in the women's games. There's professional softball. Women's professional softball make a fraction of what men's professional softball players make. Don't have the same sponsorship. They don't get, these professional softball leagues, they got actual beer sponsorship and auto dealerships and shit. So the women don't have that. So there is a great disparity, and that's why I brought this up as far as the landmark Supreme Court decision. I really want to I don't want to be that guy that is guilty of the same thing that the NCAA is doing, which is excluding the women. Again, this is personal to me. I've got my daughter again was a tremendous college student athlete, and I got a grandson that's being scouted and recruited for 3 sports. So again, this is personal for me, and the whole reason for the topic of this show tonight is for this particular topic is to bring awareness to the exploitation of our children, and it seems like the vast majority of Americans, especially sports fans, just look at it as, it's status quo, the way it goes. This is how it's done. Not realizing all the trauma and all the utter corruption involved in college sports, men, on the men and females. Again, not to exclude the women, because I have a personal vested interest in this issue. So, again, if you have anything to offer or questions, please feel free to dial 914-205-5538, and we can hammer this out. Because these are really sordid details regarding the utter corruption in the recruiting efforts of our children, with prostitutes or escorts, parents being paid an exorbitant amount of money, or vehicles, purchased for them or the athlete, certain amenities are being provided by these quote-unquote boosters, college boosters, that provide all these amenities And then when these kids, when it's found out that they were given money, suddenly they're ineligible. There's something inherently wrong with this whole system. And that's why I want to talk about it. That's another reason why I want to talk about that. Again, if you have anything, any questions or comments, please feel free to dial 914-205-5538. Also, on the table tonight, in the last hour of the show, I'd be remiss if I didn't address the current situation in America. And it's a ripple effect because I'm hearing and I'm getting, in my research, I'm getting information from around the country of how crippling this opioid epidemic has become, how prominent and deadly the opioid epidemic has become. Unfortunately, on my way to work the other day, I didn't drive that day, so I took public transportation, city train, and on platform opposite of the train I was on, saw a young Caucasian woman convulsing and obviously a victim of overdose. And I knew it wasn't, I couldn't hear the scream of the young man that was crouched over her, but he was obviously screaming for help and asking someone to dial 911, call an ambulance. While this young woman was lying on the train platform, convulsing and seizing, and obviously overdosing on these opioids that they come into the city to buy. A lot of these people live in the suburbs, yet they come to the city to cop, to get their fix. And I've even seen them, I've seen some stuff that I wouldn't want anyone else to see, just reprehensible activity on public transportation that is just deplorable and sickening, as well as sad. Because of the affinity and the love affair that I have for my beloved city, and I think in the civic pride that I think is unlike any other city in this country, I think Chicagoans have a unique civic pride, and it was just so sad to me to see that, as well as other deplorable acts that I've seen recently on my way to work on these trains. So sex acts and drug use and robberies and murders. Just so unsafe. Again, I'm bringing this up to segue into the other topic that I had on the table that I mentioned in the opening of the show tonight, which is the tragedy and utter trauma that has cloaked my beloved city. And I have to talk about it, and I hope that I can get an answer as to, again, this show's purpose is rooted in the people. And with that said, we want to protect our people and build our community. And excuse me, I need answers as to how we can stop fucking killing each other. What we must do. Because the game is so messed up, and there's so many, it's just so much foul shit going on. Another infant was shot over the weekend. A toddler was shot in the face over the weekend. Over 60 people were shot in Chicago between Friday night and Monday morning. There were 40-plus carjackings in that same time span. It's not even 4th of July yet. But when it gets hot in Chicago, fucking crime wave. So all these carjackings, all these shootings, of those 60-plus people shot, I think they said 14 of them are dead. Yeah. I don't know if those carjacking numbers are included in the death, but there have been five mass shootings in Chicago in the last two weekends. Over 100 people shot in two weekends. Oh, I failed to mention, of those 100 people shot, 20 of them were under 12, or 16, I'm sorry. Minors, babies, killing babies. So again, my question is, what do we do to stop killing each other? Is it job opportunities? Is that the answer? Throw money at it? What can we do? Because it's not just happening in Chicago. We're taking each other out all over the place. I got five family in California. There's supposed to be a truce, a gang truce, recently, in the spring. From what I understand, ain't shit changed. You got rival sets still blasting each other. And for what? For some land that they don't even own, they claim, but they don't own that shit. It's senseless. Losing so many people. Inviting so much tragedy and trauma that affects so many people and generations of families that will never recover from the loss of a loved one to senseless violence. I should get a medal for going to work and getting home in one piece. To get a medal for that shit. Surviving these wicked streets. And FYI, don't matter what time of day. In Chicago, or as we're affectionately known as Chirac, is a term you use anytime, anybody, anywhere. Chirac. North, south, east, or west. In the hood, or up on North Michigan Avenue, where all the money's at. Downtown, shopping districts. Anybody, anytime, anywhere in Chicago. And the police are figuratively handcuffed. Their murder rate, solving murder cases rate solved murder rate, cases rate is less than 30%. That's ridiculous. Lots of unsolved murders. So that means there's no justice. This cop is just recently, the CPD is just recently shot a young man, a 17-year-old. I'm sorry, 14-year-old. The boy was 14. But he was shot and killed by police. He was just stripped of his powers, police powers. And he's no longer being paid by CPD. But not sure if there's going to be any substantial charges, because it's been deemed that if the young man did have, in the video shows that the young man did have a gun, he was pointing it towards the officer, and the gun had been fired. But that case is still pending as well. And more investigation, pending investigation. We'll have more details on the Alvarez case later. I'm sure before the fall hits us. But again, to address the utter trauma and tragedy that's been going on here, and not just here, but around the country. I saw where that the mass shooting down in North Carolina. I'm sorry, not North Carolina. I'm tripping. In Kentucky, you fools tripping in Kentucky. And I don't have much detail on that. Oh man, we're about to get some heavy rain here in my area. Sorry about that. I'm just getting a weather alert. We've been getting some storms lately in the area. I know the rest of the country is a fucking dust bowl, but it's been raining here, and we had a really dry April and May. But it's been raining here, and we've gotten some tornadoes. We've had some Kansas-type category, what they call it, E4 category, tornadoes in the area that have destroyed, literally taken up, pulled up trees, uprooted trees, and just destroyed homes and swept cars to other parts of town. Yeah, that strong tornado, so... That's one of the PSAs that I wanted to address later in the waiting moments of the show, because we've had some really crazy weather, as well as the topic of the subject that I mentioned earlier in the opening of the show tonight about preparedness and. What I wanted to touch on in the PSA, besides the tornadoes and it being hurricane season, but also the recent rash of earthquakes up and down the West Coast, and the heat wave going on in the West again, damn dust bowl. My daughter lives in the Central Valley, in the Southland, in California, and she refers to where she lives as goddamn dust bowl. And they haven't had any rain. Plus, they got all the goddamn wildfires. It's wildfire season starting again, so that's going to be part of the PSA as well. But again, we'll get into that in the last couple minutes of the show. But again, I want to address the. And again, ask the question, what must we do to stem this senseless violence against each other? Because we're really just playing into the hands of our oppressors by doing this constantly and not uniting, not coming together like Brother Melvin always touts. We need to come together. We need to come to an agreement. And it's up, like Brother Miller says, it's up to us men to step up. It's time to do something. Y'all just going to keep looking the other way? Man, I can't do that. If I see something happen to my brother or sister, or even if I see them guilty of doing some fucked up shit, I'm going to say and do something. I'm not just going to turn the other way. Or if I'm attacked, I'm not just going to turn the other cheek. Where they do that at? So I can't not ask that question. Because I'm baffled. And it's not a fucking riddle. I need to know, what can we do to stem this tide of senseless violence against each other and continuously playing into the hands of our oppressors, of our exploiters, playing right into their hands? Why do you think the prison system's making all their paper? Because of senseless, dumbass niggardry. There, I said it. Why do you think all the damn cemeteries and mortuaries, funeral homes, making so much damn money? It ain't coronavirus that's killing niggas. It's niggas. It's other niggas. Yeah, I said it. And I know most of y'all hate that word, but I use it in context, and even if I did use it out of context, does it matter? You get more upset at me about using that word than you do about anybody else that doesn't use that word but subliminally hates you the same way. Just won't say it. You get mad at me, you get upset about that shit, about a word that you've used in the past. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm just using that as a comparison to say that we need to be getting upset about more than that word. Need to be getting upset about your cousin getting murdered by somebody else. I've even seen recently family members killing each other at a damn cookout. Cousins killing each other. This is senseless, people. We need to knock it off. Seriously. You need to, what's that old song? You need to cut it. Simply because making other people rich and playing right into the hands of our exploiters and our oppressors. If someone can answer this, any of these questions for me tonight, I greatly appreciate it. And thanks for holding. I appreciate you. I'm going to open up mic, and hopefully, brother can help answer this question. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. Your mic's open. What's good?
What's good? Black power.
Man, you got to add all power to the people, brother. You got you got a comment or a question?
Man, I don't know where y'all at with the conversation, but I know the topic is I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, what's your name, man? Who is this?
This is Equine. I'm from South Carolina, brother.
Oh, bro, peace. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you called into other shows before. What's good, man?
We've been
discussing the landmark decision from the Supreme Court putting pressure on the NCAA and the other like EA Sports EA Sports as well as the NCAA to start compensating former and current ballers, particularly in men's sports.
Right,
We just saw the two players, a football player and a basketball player. Maybe one of them used to play for UCLA back in the 90s. Ed O'Bannon. He had a cup of coffee in the NBA
right.
for a minute, but he just got a settlement, undisclosed settlement from EA Sports. Because they were making a profit off of his name and likeness off the video game that they're still selling. Like you can have classic teams, NCAA classic teams, and he's on one of those teams. So again, it's an undisclosed amount. However, they did come to a settlement out of court, and with this landmark decision, is just going to open the door to a litany of other civil suits, class action suits, as well as the ACLU getting involved, the unions, the players' unions from the NCAA. From the NBA as well as the NFL with former players, getting compensated. Oh yeah, man, it's just gonna open the door for a lot of shit. Not to mention the women's sports. So that's what we've been discussing tonight, as well as the all the tragic and senseless killing going on in my beloved city, as well as around the country. And I know down by your way there was some bullshit that happened over the weekend, right?
Yeah, it's always some shit going on, man. It's crazy, and I'm just gonna try to tie it back in together. Especially talk about liberation for us as black folks, us as black people here in America, Africans here in America. There's a lot of discussions come up, like the one you just had, repatriation, government reform, prison reform, things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we still see at the forefront is that cracker. That cracker is still somewhere in the motherfucking mix. And it's a thing where, a lot of times we might have excitement and we might say, they have a reparations committee. They have potentially talking about reparations. But I don't feel like black folks have fought hard enough for that. So if it were to happen, I don't feel like it's just going to magically happen. I feel like with any fight, in order to scientifically, mathematically, in order to win a game, you have to put forth the effort. A lot of times you have to put forth more of an effort at winning than the person has at beating you. You understand? So I think a lot of us current day, we don't even realize that we're in a game or that we have an opponent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or what our opponent looks like. That's the reality. Even when we say, what's going on? The brother wrote the book. Right. And I'm going to tell you that reality is documented and it can be factually proven. When you look at shit like the BET Awards last night that spoke about black culture, it spoke about the highlight of black culture in America, right? And you look at this guy, Lil Nas X, and he's tongue kissing a dude or two dudes, but we can't seem to get an image of the black man tongue kissing a black woman, right? That's going to be offensive to someone to see that beautiful black woman kissing that strong black man. We don't ever see that on
yeah,
the stage. We can't even find
that. In Hollywood because the agenda, because that's not part of the agenda. The agenda is to emasculate the black man and to separate him.
Right.
And to further separate him and dissolve the black family. That's all that is, brother.
Right.
So Lil Nas X, he might be talented, but he's just one of them token niggas that's used by our exploiters to further their agenda by emasculating and destroying the black family. Period. And I'm so glad
to
hear that.
Like Diddy.
Right, cats like Diddy. Now you see him. He's coming out, and they had this, you know, the brothers, what's the rap guy? Math Hoffa, he has a show. He has a lot of those old rappers, the ex-rappers on his show.
Yeah, I'm here.
And they were talking about how they really want to play with your booty. You understand? If you're bored, they want to do those mm-hmm. type of things, going segue in.
Right.
What we're seeing, and even you had P. Diddy that now is backing and saying, oh, you did that. And as you were talking about looking at the dynamic in our community, now basically what we don't value the life in which we were created in. You understand? Basically why I as a man, now this type of thing is promoted. I as a man hate being a man. It's okay. I hate it so much it's okay for me to be a woman now. You feel what I'm saying? That's the level mm-hmm. of this thing.
They're promoting this homosexual agenda. I mean, you look at Birdman. You look at what's old boy from Houston that was Young Thug or whatever that's openly gay, and the thing with the thing that Lil Wayne Weezy said years ago about Birdman busting it, or initiating him or whatever. Has been going on for a long time. You know, I'll even go back as far as you look at them sexualizing rappers, and it started, believe it or not, started with LL. Went all the way back to LL, and I'll even say Ice-T, but Ice-T didn't. Ice-T wasn't going. But all that lip licking and touchy feeling on your you know bare chested and all that stuff, they sexualizing rappers back then. And now you see where in what direction they were looking. They could see miles ahead in the future, and following their agenda. This is what the fruition of what started at that meeting back in 1990 with the hip hop executives.
And as you're talking about how we get to a place where we have these senseless killings, you understand? Where we have senseless killings where we're killing each other over nothing because our music, our culture, T says this is the highlight of black culture. So therein where we find the highlight of our black culture, we're tuning in. We're going to see some singing about Jesus. We're going to see some of those same cats that talk about shooting up the community and killing people on, you know, selling dope to the community, they're going to be applauded. They're going to be paraded.
They're celebrated. Yeah.
You understand? They're going to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Nas X, you know, he's a homosexual, you know, taking it up the rear. He's being celebrated. And we're wondering why we're at a place where we're manifesting the us not valuing the quality of life because it's still we wait for the European to give us. And even in the case of the NCAA, we're still waiting on the same oppressor that oppressed our ancestors to now free us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only utilizing that same whip, but just on a different system, mechanism.
The way you recognize that and the way you put that, bro, and the way you see that the NCAA, especially the college sports men's football and basketball, is a fucking slave system, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
right.
And but now with this landmark decision, again, it's going to open up the door to a lot of money.
I don't know
if you were listening at that portion of the show when I was explaining how the feds are putting the pressure on the president of all these universities, predominantly white universities, from the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-10, all of these 1,000-plus schools have to come up with a number now to compensate these former and current players. And if they don't, because they certainly don't want to leave it to a jury. to come up with a number.
Right.
So they have to come up with this number. So, with the fans putting a lot of pressure on the president of the NCAA and the president of the NCAA putting pressure on the 1,000-plus schools, colleges, and universities. And you know who's sitting pretty in all of this? Our HBCUs. Because my daughter went to Jackson State.
Right.
And my nephew goes to Clark Atlanta. And my niece goes to NC Chapel Hill. And my nephew, her brother, goes to NC Greensboro. So, they're sitting pretty right now, and there's going to be a lot of money going to our HBCUs, especially in light of the Biden administration. And I know I didn't mean to touch on this, but since we're on this, the Biden administration has fallen back and starting to allocate money to the HBCUs that was taken or basically stolen during the Trump administration. All that money that was allocated, that was supposed to go to the schools from the Department of Education, where that bitch Betty DeVos took all that money and sent all that $3.9 billion to private schools up in New York and in Georgia, all those private white schools like Vassar and Chamberlain College and all those private white schools. Yes, 90% of that money went to those schools. Now, during the Biden administration, that money is going to the HBCUs that was originally allocated for. So that's one good thing. That's why I said this isn't pretty right now.
But I was hoping that you
can help answer the question as to what can we do, what must we do to stem the senseless violence against each other. Is it more jobs? Do we throw money at it? Do we put pressure on the gun lobby?
Man, to be truthfully honest, it's the same thing. You know, we answer that question in answering how is it that we take better care of our athletes. You know what I'm saying? Even if that makes no damn sense for us as black folk to be and run the majority of, you know, even with NBA. We run the majority of the NBA, so that means the entertainment, when we have all these ratings in sports, you know, people are tuning in, it's because of black folk. If you took away black folk, nobody wouldn't want to. So now we as the viewers, we as the participants, we need stake in this thing. Are we not participating? It's the same shit inside the guns and us basically knowing how to treat each other. We have to say we have stake in our community. You understand me? It's not only up to the police to take care of our community. Like, we got a lot of Masons. You got a lot of alphas. You got a lot of people from certain communities. They come back to certain communities to go to church. I know niggas that come from one side of town to go all the way on the other side of town to go to church. But then after that, they leave and go right back to their fucking community. They aren't there, like, in taking up stake, investing in that area.
Right. They're
leaving it up to the old folks. A lot of times you got older people
at that church. They're giving money to that. They're somewhat inserting money to that community, but that's just to that particular church. But if they're not shopping or generating revenue in that community, you're basically, you know, you're hurting that community. But by what you say, if you're going back and forth, you know, like you're taking your money elsewhere. This is like, you know, we talk about boycotting on this show all the time. Spend money. With your people, please patronize black businesses every day, but particularly on Tuesdays, it's Blackout Tuesday. Or keep your money. You know, don't spend no money on Tuesdays. But if you do, spend it with black folks. Spend it with your people, and then that'll keep the money in the community, and that'll cycle through the community. You know. a lot slower and benefit the community in a big way. So and that's what one of the premises on this show. And so when you mentioned that you know brothers that go back and forth from one side of town to the other just for church, you know, that's kind of disheartening to hear.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. Because, you know, sometimes they, you know, we leave from the community, our community, to go to, you know, the white side, the whiter side, right? But, you know, damn well them white folks ain't going to let you come to their church. You know, you better say, what you find is we go back to the hood or we go back to grandma. Well, grandma stay on the other side with her, you know, and go back to church with the black folks. And that's the thing, like, but we are not investing in, you know, that same community, you know, taking up time, making sure, like, people, well-to-do people, they can come together.
That's
everybody
right.
Come together in a community, put together $20. Because you ask the question, how is all this senseless violence going on? How is all this senseless violence going on? And that's what it is. You know, our people, we don't feel like there's ownership. We don't feel like those children are ours. We feel like, okay, now the world is ours. I'm an American. So black children don't just belong to me. You know, now the white kids, I can be just as much as of a father to a white kid. That's what we feel like. So I'm just doing something as a good human rather than having the African worldview. And I think that's the thing that's going to allow us to see and clear and wipe off our lens to be able to know how to utilize that gun, like Phil Valentine said. So we'll know who our enemy is. We just got to know where to point it. You understand? We got to know who the damn enemy
word.
Is. Right now, we are polluted. Our children
well
are polluted.
Well said,
by stuff like Nas, and they go away from seeing the homosexual and say, I want to be a over thug. I want to kill up the whole community because they know they don't want to be no homo. You know what I'm saying? So it's a thing that these discussions like these are going to help, brother.
You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of these brothers have sold out, you know, and being used by as sex toys for a little bit of money, and sacrificing your soul and dignity for a little bit of money at the behest of somebody that don't give a fuck about you, and would rather see you pushing up daisies than pushing a pen. To write a check, that's what I mean.
Right.
So,
right.
It's sad, but yet stark reality that this is what we do. And again, thank you for attempting to answer my stupid ass question, because it seems that we can have a number of answers to those questions as to stem the tide and senseless violence amongst each other. Because we get, like Melvin was talking about last night, we get so angry, you know, for a litany of reasons, like we discussed in the last installment of the Empowerment Zone about our mental state and the conditioning that we've been under with the lockdown and since the pandemic started, and with the reopening of this country, man, people have lost their damn mind. Act like they ain't never been outside before. Act like they ain't never been, like they're raised by wolves, man. Come on, now. No manners whatsoever. I've seen some rude shit. I work at Wrigley Field. I've seen some rude shit. I probably shouldn't have said that. I work at the what they call the friendly confines. Like Disneyland or Disney World is the happiest place on earth. Well, Wrigley Field is supposed to be the friendliest place. And I've seen some rude shit going on there since they reopened to 100% capacity. People have lost their fucking mind. And so our mental status right now is, I'd say, at a dubious, unstable best. Because, again, I think we've lost our minds. And so to answer that, the effort to answer that, my question, I appreciate you, brother. But we need more insight and less and less allure to, you know, that trap game is so alluring because of the ridiculous amount of money you can make in such a short amount of time. That trap game is so damn alluring and tempting. And, the music is perpetuating those images that none of them niggas live like. None of them niggas live like that. There ain't too many rappers that are real thugs. That's a fucking image to sell records. They don't even sell records the same way they used to. Now you gotta, in order to make some damn money, you gotta sell some perfume, you gotta sell some shoes, you gotta sell some insurance, you gotta sell some soap pop. You know, I saw Drake. It's a motherfucking State Farm insurance commercial. Watch the NBA playoffs. Another rapper selling. Will Smith's kid selling. Is it New Balance gym shoes? Yeah, Will Smith's kid. So not only are you required to sell records because you ain't making, because everybody's downloads, nobody's buying records. They don't even fucking make vinyl no more. The only ones they make vinyl for is for the goddamn DJs. They don't make vinyl no more. People don't know how to buy. Don't know about buying 45s and 30s and LPs and shit, double albums and whatnot. They don't even do CDs anymore. Everything is so digital. Everything. You download every goddamn thing. So in order to sell records, you got to have people download. And they only get like pennies on every record downloaded. So now you got to sell perfume. You got to sell soda pop. You got to sell cars and all this other shit to make you a star.
That's right. That's right.
And they're perpetuating these negative images about and these stereotypes of black folks that's just inaccurate and untrue. And we eat this shit up, man. We love these stars. Love them. Mm-hmm. We care. We actually care about their life. Why? When you struggling, they ain't struggling, and they certainly not thinking about your black ass. They say they do. Oh, I love the fans, really. So, you know, that's my point, and how we're eating all this shit up, and how we're playing into their hands, and playing into the hands of our oppressors and our exploiters. And again, the question is, where does it stop? What do we do? What can we do? What must we do in order to stop this senselessness? Because I'm watching in Chicago. I'm watching in Chicago, bro. You know, 60-plus people getting shot in 48 hours in the city.
Yeah, that shit crazy, man. That shit crazy.
Two blocks from where I live on the south side. I live in the what they call it. I live on the outskirts of Terrortown, and in that, on the east side, on the southeast side of Chicago, there have been 5 mass shootings in the last month. Yeah, that means 5 or more people getting shot up at once. That's a mass shooting. 16 people were shot at a party a couple weeks ago. 8 people were shot at another party about a mile away from here, or a mile away from my crib. Yeah, senseless shit. So that's why I ask these questions. We got about 15 minutes remaining, and I really appreciate. We appreciate you calling in, brother, and thank you for your input and your insight. And please don't hesitate to feel free to call in, not just to the Empowerment Zone, but to the other shows on the network as well. And speaking of which, Monday nights, The Big Picture with Brother Melvin Seary, he always has some very pertinent and intriguing subject matter. That I'm sure he will be discussing well and being so wise he will share
all of his wisdom on Monday nights at 7 on the Panther Party Radio Network. With that said, in the last roughly 10 minutes of the show, and again, I want to thank brother from South Carolina for calling in and offering his insight and perspective. And again, please feel free to call in again. I won't be on air next week because I got to work, got game next Tuesday night, so I'll be unable to host the show on Tuesday. I'm going out of town, going to visit some friends. I'm actually going to a wedding in Kansas City, and I'm going to visit while I've got the day before, which is Friday, the day before the actual wedding. I'm going to visit the Negro Leagues Hall of Fame Museum. That's been on my bucket list, and that's a must see for me with my love of my love affair with baseball and the history of baseball. And the Negro Leagues Hall of Fame Museum is definitely on my bucket list, and I can't wait. And I also can't wait to share my experience with my audience when I do return to the airwaves in 2 weeks. Also, with that said, we're going to be focusing on, as I mentioned, the mental health aspect. Really going to be focusing on that, and hopefully get some more input from our audience in 2 weeks regarding our status and our mental capacity with the reopening of the country and us going back to 100% capacity, and where we are at as a people, as a community. Because in my eye, from what I've seen in the last few weeks, we got a lot of work to do. It just seems like people have lost their damn minds, and it's sad, and I'm worried. And also, as we were discussing in the opening of the show in the first hour, particularly the landmark decision of the Supreme Court to compensate former and current student college athletes. There'll be more detail. We'll be discussing this further, most definitely, with more details coming in the coming weeks. Because this is a really, really, really big deal, something that's been people have made a lot of sacrifices and fought for, and it's now coming to fruition. Much like the fight and sacrifices made to get a bill on the Senate floor to open the door to reparations for African Americans in this country. So, you know, things are moving. You know, justice comes at a snail's pace, but when it arrives, when you do finally see justice, it's gigantic. And that's what we're hoping for, to get some peace and some justice and redemption, for that matter. It's really has been a pleasure be on the airwaves with my audience again. And once again, I won't be on next Tuesday. However, I'll see you back in 2 weeks. So tune in Tuesday in 2 weeks from now. And we'll have more details on the subject that we talk about, and you're more than welcome to join our conversation and discuss whatever is on your mind. If you have questions that perhaps I can answer, feel free. That's what we're here for, man. And hopefully all the brothers and sisters that follow this show will continue to patronize us and understand and know that we love you here in the Empowerment Zone, and our purpose is rooted in the people. All power to the people. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts here in the Empowerment Zone for everything and all your insight and perspective. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. And remember, in the waning moments of the show, I did want to offer a public service announcement, and that is if you live in California, anywhere on the coast, from Southern California to Oregon, Seattle, the Washington area, please be ultra safe. Follow the earthquake preparedness protocol and just be ultra safe. I've got a lot of concerns. I've got concerns because I've got quite a bit of family out there up and down the coast, and I'm really, really concerned, especially in light of all the recent earthquakes, even with the one last week at the magnitude of 7 point something, which is always very, very scary. And when you feel the earth moving under your feet and you realize that you have no control, that's when your sense of self-preservation should kick in. And you do the right thing, like standing in a door jam or perhaps getting under a table or following the other protocol, safety protocols and preparedness for earthquake preparedness. So please, again, be ultra safe and follow the safety protocols for earthquake preparedness. Everyone listening and passing on, if you have friends and family out there in Cali, out there on the West Coast, and if you're listening, please let them know. Please pass this on to be ultra safe and prepare for earthquake preparedness, because it's happening right now. The Ring of Fire is really active right now. Also, it's wildfire season, so please be careful when you're smoking. When you're having cookouts and whatnot, just be careful, because it can cause millions and billions of dollars of damage with just a spark. So just please be careful. Also, all my drivers, all my riders out there, I know you're listening. I know you're out there, and you've been really, really good. Please just be ultra careful and know that we're with you 100%. If you got to travel alone, just be ultra careful. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes and ears peeled at all times. But try to travel in groups as much as possible. And also, last but not least, the weather conditions have been really sketchy at a dubious best. We got heat waves throughout the country, from west to east. Just hot everywhere. I'm going to be in Kansas City over the weekend, and it's predicted to be over 100 degrees. Not looking forward to that, but just please be careful. Hydrate. Can't drink too much water when it's this hot. Got to stay hydrated. It's of the utmost importance to stay hydrated. You, your family, the kids, stay hydrated. No pop, none of all that coffee, even though I do enjoy my iced coffee. At least I got ice. But I do drink plenty of water throughout the day, too, and I limit my coffee intake. There's days I don't even drink coffee. But I am a coffee achiever, and I do enjoy my iced coffee, especially during the summer months. So please, stay hydrated. That's my point. Stay hydrated. Stay out of the sun. Avoid staying in direct sunlight for prolonged periods. And check on the seniors. Check on your loved ones. Check on the elderly. You cannot neglect your people. Please. We had a heat wave here 25 years ago in Chicago where 1,000 people died, and of those 1,000 people that died, 800 of them were seniors where nobody checked on them, and their apartments were baking, and they set new protocols and standards for heating and cooling in Chicago because of that heat wave where 1,000 people died in the summer of 1995. Unforgettable heat wave, deadly heat wave. So please, please, this heat ain't no joke. Stay hydrated, stay out of the direct sunlight, and check on your people, especially the elderly. And last but not least, regarding the weather, it's hurricane season, and we got tornadoes popping up all over the place. Please, don't be a dummy. Don't stand under trees and around power lines, down power lines. Don't drive in areas that are flooded and down power lines. Do not walk or ride your bicycle or motorcycle or scooter or whatever through water that has down power lines. Please be ultra careful. And if you're living in a hurricane or tornado alley, rather, just be ultra careful and don't be stupid. And follow the safety protocols. Also, if you live, it's hurricane season as well. Please be ultra careful. Board up, do the board ups, do everything you can and to keep your family safe and in one piece. These hurricanes ain't no joke. Mother Nature don't play. And these hurricanes are deadly, as we've seen historically. So please, they've been ravaging and traumatizing families for years. Don't be another victim, a senseless victim. What do you have to do? Be prepared. But that's it. We're here in the Empowerment Zone. Love you. Peace. All power to the people. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
You are here to judge between two conflicting testimonies. Somebody is lying. Now, reason stands. Reason is very clear here. That Private Jones, who had come from Sanford, North Carolina, would have no great desire to see Fred Hampton up in this trial. But Fred Hampton, a key figure in this community, has great reason for not wanting to be put in jail.
But the state's attorney and the state's attorney's office has reasons to see Fred Hampton in jail. We've got a new state's attorney. And he said already what he thought about people that had different political beliefs than he had. His speeches sound somewhat like those of Hitler. And we know why he wants to see Fred Hampton put in jail. Why do I have a lot of arrests? Because of harassment. Why is that harassment? Because the people that harassed me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently. And they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me, because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people, and if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization who'll be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not, and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people. Right. And what makes them mad about that? They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They had them caught up in their movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire best. We think you fight fire with water best. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight it with socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reaction with all of us people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
And that's saying all power to the people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason is this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back because this is lower, this is upper. This is the oppressed, this is the oppressor. This is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves. They say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies and I hate Indians. So we fight amongst each other. And you've heard the testimony of pigs here. You got pigs of all colors. You know that. You got pigs that are white. You got pigs that are black. You even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Henry had would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to cheat you to believing that I'm your enemy. And that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Daley, and other than Tricky Dicky Nixon. If you make the right decision, then the oppressed people of the world get complete satisfaction. I know you return a verdict of not guilty. Thank you.
There's a fine line, baby, I'm on it.
Love and hate, see, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate, you see, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think, to see, that liberation, and baby, I want it. Another nigga think, now that's liberation, and baby, I want it.
Let me hear it.
Now many times I sit back and contemplate, a fresh off the tank when I'm telling my story. My relationship with my folks is give and take, and I done took so much, now giving my glory. Yeah, my mama them told me. I say I have a choice to be who you want to be. It's left up to me. Yeah, my mama them told me.
From the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers, you a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tail between your legs. Throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping, Libertad, Libertad.